this last. Dr. Kathleen Rose actually, she got double booked, and so since I was on this abstract, I do it every day since I work with McKinley School. I'm going to discuss about it. So McKinley Moves is a unique and sustainable school-university partnership for physical activity and health. And we work at San Jose State University with the Department of Health Science and Recreation. And what we did is McKinley Elementary School is a school that is 2 miles from our campus. It is an elementary school that's in a really rough neighborhood. It's mostly low-income families and primarily immigrant families. So part of the reason why we went there was we realized that not one child knows a college student. Not one parent knows a college student, and it's 2 miles away from the campus. So just for disclosure, we have no relationships to disclose. For the presentation goals, we want to describe what we do at Salud Familiar and McKinley. We want to share the strategies that work to infuse physical activity through culture, project structure, and events. And we want to discuss persistent challenges and the deeper tensions that they reflect, because when you scratch that surface and you get deeper, it's like peeling the layers of the onion, you realize more and more and more there's deeper rooted issues that are they're not getting physical activity. So let's start with the context of Salud Familiar and McKinley. This started in 2005 between our department and the university, and it's a very, very large intervention that we're doing. But at the beginning, we just did one event. We did like a little family health night, but we just started adding that since then. If you think about San Jose State University, it's the oldest university in California. It was established in 1857. We have 30,000 students, and we are the majority minority since 1990. For McKinley Elementary School, they have 600 students. It's K-6. It's a neighborhood school. It's in a kind of rough, tough neighborhood, and it's 90% Latino. And there's very small sections of Vietnamese population, white, or they say non-Hispanic, as well as Filipino. What we wanted to do when we started this project was we wanted to co-create. We didn't want to create something, we wanted to co-create, because we wanted them just as much as us in a partnership. We didn't want to be us going and doing things. We wanted a culture of reciprocity. And that's actually what the principal discovered at the school. She didn't want us just coming to do service. She wanted us to work together to improve the community. And that was to create the culture, the confidence, the resources, and the environment for health. Together, we wanted to work together to have a passionate and compassionate workforce for contemporary California. And my favorite is Desapso Confianza de la Universidad. We wanted to build community trust and confidence in the university as a source of resources, inspiration, and support. And the reason being is there's nothing worse, and it has happened, I'm sure it's happened in all your states, but especially California, where people are helicopter pilots. They go in, they get the data, and then they leave and leave nothing sustainable. And we were never going to do that. We made a promise that we would never go away. And I just love some of these pictures, some of the activities we've done with the kids. So this is what's grown since 2005. In the middle is our project, Salud Familiar. But what we do is my class I teach is HS104 Community Health Promotion. We put on 6 community health events in one semester. That means 12 community health events in one semester at McKinley School. Every 3 weeks in my class, we do a community health event with 20 students, putting on 3 activities each. So we have 18 activities in 6 different stations. From that divide, when we first met the moms, they never actually approached a school, they stood at the fence. And so what the moms wanted to be actively involved. So the moms, they gave themselves a name, and they called themselves Las Campeonas, which was health champions, kind of loosely translated. And so what the moms do is they have weekly meetings, health meetings, about what they want, what they do, and what they'd like to do for themselves, for the family, for the school. The moms had a club, so then little girls went to club. So we have a 3rd and 4th grade club for girls. It's called Las Flores. It's a girls' health club, and they meet weekly, and it's run by San Jose State students. Then we have Los Perritos, which is little birds, and I will disclose that it can also be called little penises, but we did not know that, and we are sticking with little birds, just to throw that out there. And it's 1st and 2nd grade. It's boys and girls, 1st and 2nd grade health club, and they also meet once a week, run by 2 college students. And then part of that came Comida Casera, and that's our Second Harvest Food Bank. There was no healthy food sources. As everyone knows, there's no healthy food sources around a rough neighborhood school. There's only liquor stores, a store that's not very healthy food. I won't say the name right now. But what we realized was, and one food bank was another, like 2 miles away, but it was 2 miles away over really rough areas. I mean, you'd cross over a freeway underpass, no sidewalks, nothing, in which we all did mapping. We walked it and showed the Food Harvest, this is why we should have it. And so now the school site is a Food Harvest Bank site. And so once a month, at first Thursday, it's half college students, half moms run the food bank. From that, we discovered a summer program, so we did a two-day-a-week summer program. So they would have, because there's no after-school activities. There's none. There's no after-school clubs, except the ones that we have, nothing. And so that's when we realized they need to have some kind of YMCA kind of. So we do 2 days and one Saturday. It was 2 days, one's on-campus activities and games, and 1 day a field trip. And from that came McKinley Moves, which I'll talk about in a second. McKinley Moves came from Kaiser, and it's now really deeply connected because it's about getting physical activity into the school. California schools are all about the test, and I'm sure all of you can relate. It's all about the test. And what we realized was PE got sacrificed because they had to study for the test, especially the higher grades. So we did a resource inventory, and I'll just briefly, I've talked about this already. This is what we knew they had. They had flat land. They had a large green field, which was never being used, except for recess. They do have trees. They're next to a city park, which is used, but at night it's very dangerous. It's a very dangerous park, and you'll find condoms and all kinds of things that, you know, in the evening because of things that happen, beer bottles, all kinds of stuff that's not conducive for kids. They knew that they had to have a state-required PE, but they were so sacrificing it because of the state-mandated test, but they do have recess periods and a lunch recess, and they just got funding for new playground equipment. And so we knew that we could help with this. However, this was the problem. There's no shade there. It's all, even though there's trees, they're all in the corner. It's no shade in the middle. The also thing is, it's very interesting. When we first did one of our events was the Olympics. We have our McKinley Olympics once a year. The basketball hoops are so high even for our students to reach. So, and we can't get them lowered. And so you think about, that's a problem. If you have this huge, you have these basketball courts with nets and hoops that kids can't even reach. You know, there was the inconsistent enthusiasm for physical activity among teachers. That's a big thing. And I was thinking about Bonnie was saying, community is all about it, and schools have a hard time communicating. We have the principal totally on board, but getting the teachers on board, just because they're overworked and it's really tough, it's hard to get teachers to get involved because there's just one more thing in their day that we're adding to that stress. The PE is mostly just free play outside. There's no structured PE activities at all. And there's no teams and no coaches at all. They do have it's run by a nonprofit, and it's a tutoring club, but it's for only students who are two grade levels below their reading level. So only kids who are, and what it is, it's basically you're taking kids who are two grade reading levels below and then tutoring them for 3 hours after class. And so it's just pounding in terms of you're not. It's great that they have that support, but it's not conducive to, like, feeling better about school, because everyone knows when you go to Coral, you're going to Coral because you're two grade levels below. So we thought, how can we get physical activity in? Well, we have the groups, and we have our events that we can do, the six community health events. We have our moms, we have a summer program, and we also have an outdoor adventure club that we're going to be starting with Sierra Club. So we know we can get it in there. So we knew we could do it, and we knew we could get after-school clubs and do it easy. And from that, we started doing mini clubs. The students, of course, you have college students, you know, working at McKinley, doing the clubs, or actually doing the events, love working with kids. Then they think, hey, I want to do something else, but I want to do something short. So we developed mini clubs because we knew that kids wanted to play and they wanted to learn new things. So we started mini clubs of art, mini clubs of dance, mini clubs of drumming. So you think about, just come for like 3-4 weeks at a time, and a college kid for 2 days of the week will teach you how to dance, how to drum. Because there's no music, there's no art, there's no dance. There's nothing at the school like that. What we do is we connect all our events to some kind of physical activity component with that. So we think we did, of course, we have the Olympics. We also work with Spartan Athletics. So we have a huge athletics team. Once a year they do a field day. They invite all the students from all the neighboring schools to play in the field with the women's soccer team, with the women's diving team, with the gymnastics teams, with the tennis team, with the football team, the baseball team. And what we did was we brought a bus so the kids at McKinley could pick up the bus and take them to this field day on a Saturday. It was amazing. They do the mothers sell pulgas, and pulgas are a flea market, and usually that's mom run, but usually run in the school, you know, the school drive, not driveway, but you know, the parking lot. So what we did that pulga, we put a spin to it. We added nutrition and health activity boots, as well as physical exercise. So you will see me line dancing. We'll do perimeter walks, and we'll do all kinds of really fun stuff to kind of put spice to any kind of health flea market. And then Zumba, the moms discovered Zumba. And so everybody loves Zumba. And what was great about it was the instructor was someone who was within the community, who was certified, who knew what to do. But the challenges was paying the instructor in terms of thinking, how can you pay an outside contractor who's not understanding the state, who's not getting an internship? And also in terms of getting a space, because also Zumba can only be done with the moms, it's convenient if it's done at the school, but the school is busy, they have a cafeteria, they have, you know, limited space, and the moms really don't want to do Zumba outside where their kids are going to see them, or anybody see them, because it's a, you know, it's a fun thing, but it's also a women bonding thing. So it's always been, we always seem to make it happen, but it's definitely hoops to travel when you're trying to do it. So when there's no school, we started the summer program. I want to thank Cassie Garcia for leading it. It was 8 weeks. It was 2 to 4 hour sessions each week. It was lots of games, lots of sports, and lots of fun. But what was great was the MLK, Martin Luther King Library at the San Jose State University, is the only public-private university library in the world. It means anyone can go. Anyone can go. It's 2 miles away. Every Thursday, every 3 weeks, every other week, they did a library trip. All the kids and the moms and the students walked 2 miles up and 2 miles back. And so it was great, not physical exercise, but knowing that they have that option. And they all got a library book, and then when it was due, they went 2 weeks back. As we talk about challenges, it was a lack of institutional enthusiasm, as Bonnie talked about, as other people talked about too as well. And we operate in a shoestring budget. We get donations, we get generous donors, we ask for companies, we ask corporations, we get very little seed money. We are the only source of physical activity in that community because there is nothing else going on. And the family competing demands are frequent. You know, you think about, there's a lot of stuff going on in families. You think about some of them are non-documented, and that's a big fear that they're living every day with, and trying to get food on the table, trying to find work. And so the last thing you want to think about is, oh, now we have to do exercises. I mean, it's just one more thing that we could bring, though, to make it more of a family bonding, joyous time. But what we realize is that kids love being active, and that and building relationships are really the best thing. The families love the college students interacting with us. They love the college students interacting with their kids because they realize those college students are their dream because they want their kids to go to college, and now they know it's possible. Because we have this really flexible budget, we have a really tight budget, we have to be on our feet, we have to be really thinking hard and thinking fast and what can we do at the lowest price possible. But that's easy too, that they can replicate, that they can do on their own. The best thing that ever happened was cameras for phones or for families, because we take pictures of all of our signs that we do. We have make signs for all of our activities and events in Spanish and English. And we have, if it's like origami, they make, you know, we step-by-step directions. All the families take pictures of it, or we make pictures for them so they can take it and do it at home. But best thing is being a role model. It's like, that's what I always tell my students, you are being such a role model for a kid. You may not think anything, you put a smile on that kid's face for one time, and you're letting them know that that's possible, that they can go to college, or at least possible that they know that there are some really cool people 2 miles away that they didn't know before. We got a modest grant from Kaiser, and we have some requirement from our commitment from our university department, because those are the critical elements of bringing those resources that we need. Thank you to Kaiser and our course of benefits manager, our McKinley Moves volunteers. Some of our students are here in the back. Thank you so much, and thank you again.
Questions for our presenter?
On that, I mean, this fully understanding the challenges that come with outcome data.
Right.
But it sounds like such an unbelievable intervention for
right.
the community.
Right.
Do you have any outcome?
So this is what we did. So. This is total Dr. Kathleen Rowan. She would totally validate. We didn't want to go in at first doing data because they've been so abused. And I'm talking, there's been some bad stuff. And they were very, and the thing is, they were from, and also, when I first started, they gave the look over like, really, dude, what do you want? What do you want from us? What do you want to know? And so what we do, what we did was just proved ourselves. We did an open heart and open knowledge and an open mind and just proved our trustworthiness. And just by doing events and doing events and doing events. So after they, you know, got loving our events, and we always collaborate, like, what would you like to see at our events? What kind of things you'd like to see? You know, we always would meet before and meet afterwards. And after, you know, about a year or so, they were like, about a year or 2 years, we're like, okay, you know, we need to get some money here. And the only way we can get money is we get data. So you got to think about what you would like. And so then they were open. And so with McKinley Moves, that's how we started. What it is, part of it is the physical activity we brought. It's only for the upper grades. And so what they do is they measure the BMI, and they measure the weight and the height, and also what they've done. And then from the beginning to the middle to the end. And then we can give that to Kaiser. And then that's how we got refunded for that.
Have you seen any
change? Total. And what happened was it just recently ran. It ran out in May. And so it's been interesting is the students, the sixth grade class, who've been having that for like since fourth and fifth, they're like, I'm not feeling good. I can't walk. I'm tired. And we're like, well, you know, we need to have funding for this. What can you do as a community? They're all former Las Flores girls. What can you do as a community to organize that? They said, can we write a letter to the principal? She goes, you bet. And so you write a letter to the principal saying, we need physical activity like we had for the last 2 years because this is going to help us feel strong again and strengthen our muscles, that we feel like getting flabby because we're not exercising like we did for the last 2 years. And so then that is a way that just starting the letters and starting the trail and starting paper to get back in to see if we can get some more funding for that. But that's how we did some data. And we slowly are doing more data like that. Now we're doing data for my community health events is, thank God, I got a graduate student who, and it's all, we do like numbers that, you know, think about the force, all the families that come, just like Massachusetts, you know, 170 families that came, 150 people, but also just getting interviews, just asking people, you know, and knowing that they know it's one of our students that they trust, and getting dialogue from kids from different ages, as well as parents, about what they think about our events and why they're important, and what do you like about them.
Is your BMI from the
It's from the state, yeah. It's all about the schools. Yeah, it's all about the school districts.
You know, I'm inspired, I really am, by your work, but also by the rigor of people wanting to know what works with data. And from the first presenter on through, I'm really inspired. I only work really in Pennsylvania. I have a foundation, it's called Force for Health Foundation. Literally, everyone can be a force for health. And the way you kind of empower the children, empower the mother, empower the college students, with some of the other folks talking about data collection at schools and emergency preparedness at schools. We have something called the Population Health Toolkit, which we found funding to give away to any school that needs it in Pennsylvania. And there would be some programs that may be suited to what you're doing. Certainly for data collection, we report on 1,600 schools to the Health Department of Pennsylvania. We connect 100 school districts in Ohio to community emergency response in terms of emergency response planning and preparation. So there's tools we have that could be available.
Yeah.
Our student health force program would be really cool. I'd love to donate anything we have, you know,
Thank you.
Many of the presenters here to utilize. But I'd love to learn more and follow up if the contact information for the presenters. You guys need to be highlighted. There's other people that want to.
Well, what's interesting is I didn't add it because it's just we're doing right now. I don't know if you know First Five. It's First Five of Santa Clara County. They actually contacted their niece was in my class randomly this semester, and she goes, I think you need to meet my aunt. She's the CEO of First Five. I'm like, sure. Sure. And so Dr. Rowe and I went, and we sat in there thinking, you know, maybe they want us to give them some advice or consultation. And they're like, we want you to replicate because we do a family reading night. We all in pajamas, kids in college, students all in pajamas. We read, we do bookmarks, we do art, we do foods around the world. We do all kinds of fun things. They go, you need to replicate. They have a lot. They go, we have the money and resources. We have no bodies. I'm like, I got bodies. I got lots of bodies. And so we're kind of negotiating them. Actually, what they want us to do is take our show on the road. I call my class Cirque du Soleil every day because it's every 3 weeks it's a different event. And so they basically want us to replicate our events and our clubs at different family resource centers next to low-income schools all through San Jose.
And we did a similar thing in Chicago in Kelvin Park High School, which is like a humble park.
Yeah, I know. That.
Six different med schools and colleges. We had to fight off the intern volunteer. just like your students have never met a college student, many of those college students have never, ever talked to anyone who looked different from them or who grew up in something other than their suburb. So it works very much both ways as a building that next generation of collaboration.
Right. And, you know, we're looking at San Jose as like one of the most diverse cities you ever want to be in. San Jose is super diverse. What's really great about it is there is a like a like I said, it's 90% Latino, but there's like 5% Vietnamese that feel very isolated. And I have a lot of Vietnamese students, and when they see them, they go, they said, you're a teacher, you're a college student, you know, and they and they'll start speaking Vietnamese, and it's like they feel totally, they usually feel excluded, and, that's, and then they've said, I feel so included when you guys are here because you have such diversity. We're doing next week on the 13th, if you're welcome to come, if you're in San Jose. We do La Cultura, and this came from a student. We've had two events just from students' ideas. It's called La Cultura. It's a night of cultures. It's, I think, every culture but Latino. And we do, we have, I call it dinner and a show, because we have the Vietnamese Student Association perform. We have a Filipino dance troupe perform. We have Polynesian dancers perform. We're having some African drummers. We're having some Punjabi drummers. And then we provide all different kinds of food that they usually never have, samosas to lumpia to everything else. And the first time we did it, the moms, like, it was very cute. They would, like, smell something, and then they would eat it. And then now it's something that they look forward to because it's because they know it's dinner and a show, and they don't get dinner and a show. But what's great is also is the most touching story is I see this little, we had a Filipino dance troupe, and this little girl was dancing on the, you know, because they had a little space for the kids to dance with them or just sit up in front. She danced to every single step, and I thought, wow, she's really engaged. And the vice principal walked over and said, do you see the little girl? I said, yeah, she's really into it. She said, she's autistic. She has never participated in any activities at our school ever. I worked in autism for 10 years prior to this. I would never have recognized her. I mean, not recognized, but you know, you after working 10 years, you have a sense. You kind of you kind of wonder. I was blown. We were all blown away. I remember we were about five of us. We were like, and she was totally engaged. Totally excited, totally talkative, and she posed with the dancers for pictures. I mean, it was absolutely adorable. But the students students still tell me about that powerful moment because it's like they knew they touched a girl's life was totally touched, but they realized, no, she does have lots of interests and activities and excitement, but they just hadn't tapped into that. And then, not that they should have or knew that, but it was just we happened to find it by doing what we did that night.
And I know there's going to be